gun trash stunt cuz. Yeah, you know that's us. Where we only speak the real and the real rock with us. Where we motivate the people and politic on success. Oh no, we ain't DJ Khaled, but they swear we the best. Gun trash, uncut. Gun trash, uncut. Gun trash, uncut.
What's happening? It's Contrast Uncut. It's season 4, episode 40. I want to give a big shout out to Uncle Snoop's Army and Bobby D Presents. I appreciate you, brothers. It's your host, Zylo, aka DJ Juan Dollars, like I won some money. Today, we got a really incredibly dope and funny as fuck special guest. You know, he's from the City of Angels, Los Angeles, California. You know, we're the land of gangsters, bad bitches, great tree, and opportunity. His brother's made the most of his opportunity. And, you know, we could go all the way back to when it starts off. But, and that's Comic View and BET. But I'm going to tell you now, he's a world-renowned comedian, actor, and writer. This brother's been seen millions and millions of times on YouTube and on TV with endless content from All Def Digital Outlet to starting and hosting Roast Me, to the battles to All Death Cannabis, and so much in between. You can literally binge watch this brother's name on YouTube and you'll laugh so hard that anything you're going through, this is your message of recipe. And he go ahead and take the gumbo pot of so much real stuff and mix it in, and it's just so comical. But he does his homework and he presents to you such a well-bought package that you think it was luxury or, you know, designer brand with the joke sometimes. And if you don't know who I got on the show by now, it's all good. We got the, you know, great opportunity to chop it up with this brother all episode. I'm talking about Teddy Ray, everybody. How you doing?
What's up with the player, man? I appreciate you, man, for having me the show. I was going to say something mid-introduction. I'm like, you ain't got to say all that, bro. You just going through. But yeah, that's love, bro. Thank you.
No, that's, you know, that's one part of it. The show's about praising personal success stories. And sometimes, you know, you got to go down a little bit down memory lane. We be so focused on the next thing, the next thing, the next thing. Right. Because the next thing is how we keep on paying for things and how we keep on expanding our visions. But some of the times, you just need a little bit of reflection. If 2020 ain't showed you reflection, when you step on the show, you're going to get some reflection.
Man, dope. I appreciate that. It definitely showed me some reflection because we always at the house just chilling, bored. We all, could none of us lie. What you doing? I'm at the house.
Come on.
We was all low-key, I don't want to say vulnerable, but you safe, but you know, like, it's when you used to being outside and doing your daily duties, like, it's just something uncomfortable about sitting in the house after a while.
So. When you got a janky president that's telling you it's an invisible terrorist, pretty much, like, you feel me? How are we supposed, or invisible enemy, how are we supposed to battle that motherfucker? And it's like, why are you putting so much fear? Most people died of being, why am I forgetting the shit? But, you know, dealing with stress and depression. Right. People died of depression more than actual COVID. Once they caught it, that's where the shit ate them up even more. And that shit.
Well, now COVID is tearing up, nigga. COVID is up here, nigga, doing damage. But yeah, like, stress will kill anything.
Well, you got quicker. The main motherfucker telling you it's an invisible motherfucker.
But that's the news. The news is there to stress you out.
Come on, say
if
that.
If you don't
more
watch
time.
The news like that, or if you watch the news with a different eye, I'm watching it for the weather. I don't even gotta watch it for the weather no more. But you know, sometimes the weather girl be kind of thick, and I wanna check her temperature, see where she taking it today. Is it gonna be wet and cloudy where you at?
Mm.
You know, I might want to slide. Or, you know, just to see whatever bullshit they about to kick, you know, just to have some noise. But it's not, I don't never watch it and be like, oh my God, it's about to be over. Because you watch the news enough, you'll think the world finna end tomorrow.
The news will have you thinking it's unsafe to go to the park. It's unsafe to go to the front yard. That's real.
But, you know, we do got to be on P's and Q's, but yeah, I just feel like that's what's been. I've been on P's and Q's. I've been socially distanced from niggas. I've been ducked away for periods at a time. It was just when I had something to do, now I'm outside, you feel me, and doing my thing. And just not being able to do shows, it's taxing.
Come on. It's they said taxing. $30 billion was lost from doing shows.
Bruh, I just needed the part that I was finna get. Because I had a whole... I know $30 billion, that's for Drake and them. I just needed my few G. Well, I don't want to put my numbers out there, but I just needed my ends, you feel me? Because I had a whole tour. First international date. I was going to Canada, but it's still international, you feel me? I'm crossing borders.
Come on.
But yeah, all of that got canceled.
Time's the most finite thing we have on this earth, man. I got to tell you from the jump, I appreciate you fucking with me, fucking with the viewers, fucking with the listeners. Thank you.
I like what you said, because that's all we got. Right now is it. That's it. That's all I know. That's all we got.
Speaking of time, what's a normal 24 for you?
You know, I wake up in the morning, thank the man upstairs or the woman. I want to meet. You know, if God is a woman, that'll be cool. I wouldn't mind. She'll probably have hell ass. But no disrespect, Lord. But, I just wake up, thank the Lord, eat some breakfast, smoke a blunt, catch up on bullshit, talk to my peoples, just catch up. And it used to be, I would go outside and go out and do open mics or do shows or do whatever. Now it's, I'm finding things to do. I've been golfing. I've been hiking. I went on like 2 road trips this year.
Who showed you how to golf?
Nobody. That's why I'm struck. I didn't say I was golfing good.
Bro, you said golfing with some confidence.
Golf? I'm swinging the fuck out that club. I'm confidently swinging the club. It ain't confidently connected. But my swing is confident as fuck.
I got you. Nah, I ain't got it. I'm better stroking, bitches than I am trying to stroke the ball.
But I feel like it all works hand in hand. That's why Tiger Woods has so many bitches. He knew how to find that hole.
Well said. Well put. Now, as we talk about COVID, I do want to put to point, we was going to do the interview on Zoom, but we ended up getting together for a New Year's Eve event and connecting, working with Slink, and so that's why we're here today. But we COVID negative and all this shit. So don't worry.
Right. I got 2 negative tests. But they say that shit don't matter. So, that was like, you can leave here and have COVID. I was like, the white bitch stopped my celebration. I hated her for that. Because I was like, yeah, negative, bow, negative. She's like, sir, you can. It's still not 100%. I was like, shush, I'm on live, bitch. How you going to tell me I'm not 100%? I'm on live. I'm telling my fans I'm negative and you disruptive.
And then, see, I had Brent on the show, right? And we decided to go back and forth for his show and my show. And what I learned to find out is that I was going to have to battle him in a roast me challenge pretty much just to be able to talk. And so I'm very thankful that you ain't hitting me with the shit like that.
The roast?
Oh, my gosh. Hell yeah. But, man. I know how to fire. I grew up in the environment, so that's something you had to be able to do. If you don't,
you're not going to live. Or you're not going to feel
you ain't
adequate
gonna come
about
outside. Old mamas and I've been everywhere. But
I did some jokes about being roasted as a kid. People be like, oh, yeah, that was cute. That it rhymed. I was like, nah, nigga really told me I need an ocean of lotion. That happened in real time, and I'll never forget. Some roasts be really, they hit like a knife.
That's true. Shit, when a motherfucker talk about what you wear but don't know your circumstance, be like, it's the only motherfucking orange shirt I got, and I only got 2 fucking shirts.
Right.
That's not uniform when you move from L.A. to Bakersfield, and Bakersfield don't have uniform, but L.A. do.
That came from the heart. Y'all heard that? Some tears almost fell out. And motherfucking, that's a 2-hour trip from L.A. to Bakersfield. It ain't but 2 Rosses on the way. I can't just stop and pick up a little. That was deep, bro.
But certain roasts be like, oh yeah, nah. That's why I switch a shirt out between interviews, just because I ain't have shit.
And that's what you gotta prove that you got shit.
Nah, it's just for me to feel good. It ain't for nobody else.
Nah, it's for the streets too. You always glow up for the streets. As much as I like my fit, I go outside and I'm like, I'd be damned if somebody don't say something about this motherfucking fit.
Oh, my mama.
This shit does it. Like, if I really saw stuff, I'm like, man, you do it. Niggas be lying. Oh, I do it just for me. Only for me. No, nigga, you like when a nigga say something to you. Like, hey, you keeping it player right now. That part.
Come on. I'm only trying to have people take pictures of me when they got a real camera. I ain't trying to selfie my outfit. Some of you motherfuckers be really doing that extra shit that don't make no sense. Like, let someone tell you in real life.
What, like the drip check?
Yeah. I mean, some of that shit where you got like a $10,000 outfit on, that's like, okay, I understand you.
But that's just like, come on, you only took that picture because it was $10,000. Like, I want you to chill in the outfit just because you like the outfit, not because of the price.
Come on.
Or because of the name, you know? Like, there's a lot of shit I see that I wouldn't rock, but I not that I can't afford to rock it, it's not in my mind to spend $1,000 on some shoes. You know what I mean? For $1,000.
That's what I learned from having these shows in the game. Let them know you need a wardrobe. And when you interview people and shit, and then they see you shit. I ain't bought clothes in a year.
Wow. So that Cookie shirt was free.
Shout out to Nima Fadavi. I appreciate you. Shout Nima. Out to Cookies. Nima.
I need a 4X.
Come on. Run them in.
And a pack. I'll be spending bread with Cookies. Come on, man. Send me a little gram.
Bring us back to the pandemic discount. You understand me? I was enjoying it. I went to that motherfucker thing. I'm finna spend $33 for an eighth again for some fire. Man. Thinking it's on sale. Go in there. It's like, there's no sale. It was actually a pandemic discount.
To keep you smoking because they know you in the house and they gonna keep you going to keep buying weed.
Y'all need to bring that shit back.
So fuck now us. You niggas is addicted. That's smart.
Go in there thinking you finna spend $30-something and walk out that motherfucker. I ain't walking out here with nothing. I would've got two of them motherfuckers, but I only got one this time.
Right, because that shit was $78.
Come on.
Because niggas don't think about that tax. That be the part. When they was trying to vote for all of this legal weed, I was like, nigga, what's the tax finna be?
Come on.
Because I'd be damn, nigga, if y'all take all my backwood money in tax.
Bro, backwoods in Miami was $5. You know how hard I was processing that? I bought more backwoods here thinking like it's going to be more expensive there. Like, no, California, they made more money.
They robbing us, bro. If you look on the back of the backwood wrapper, it comes from two places, North Carolina and Florida.
Jacksonville. Come on.
It's that shit is pennies. You can find the plug down there on backwoods and get it for cheaper than that. But that's just the store price. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know.
Man, you talking about packaging, mailing stuff. Man, I got this quote. You know, let me know how this let me know how this quote relates to you. Okay. Or if it doesn't, the ideas, I want you to talk about it. You ready? One day your life will flash before your eyes. Make sure it's worth watching. Jared Way.
Yeah. You want to fill it up with some memories that you could be like, I did that. I went there. I skeeted in that stripper. I shouldn't have, but I did. But I sure did.
Opportunity. And you did not miss. You was golfing that night.
Golfing. 18 holes. Par one. Whatever the sayings is. But yeah, nah, for sure. You gotta live your life to the fullest, man. Whatever your heart say. Do that isn't harmful to yourself or anybody else, I think you're moving in a positive direction, bro. Now, if you listening to that voice that say, sock that bitch for no reason, don't ignore that. Ignore that.
Turn that Grand Theft Auto mind off.
Right. Niggas be like, I'm fighting demons. Nigga, you sleep with the TV on. So you that's 17 true. Different niggas right now, and you don't know how to turn off the channel, bro. Just... calm your mind.
Man, you dropped such a powerful gem, you might have broke the camera.
Hey, man. Rocks, baby.
Come on, carrots. Talking about the entertainment game, do you feel like the game chose you or did you choose the game?
A little bit of both. I think at first I subconsciously chose the game, but I didn't know. But kind of it chose me. Like, I started off being a fan, you know, watching it. But I think I overindulged. Like, I treated comedy like I still to this day, it's hard for me to watch certain shit if I can't get a laugh out of it. You know, I'll find something to laugh. I'll watch a horror movie and be dying laughing at the shit. Like,
that's a gift, by the way. That is a fucking gift. You should be doing horror movies.
I should be. I want to. Scare the kids, man.
Look at Jordan Peele and his... That's what his gift was, is that every horror movie he saw funny. And so he was able to put a whole horror movie that was fucking crazy, but it stuck to you, scared you, but he made sure that shit was funny as fuck to him.
Right. Like, that whole Get Out with the eyes, that shit is hilarious. Like, and the fact that nigga ran up full speed and busted a left, like, all of that shit is comedy. So, yeah, I feel it. I'm going to tap in into my horror mind. I'm going to watch some horror movies.
Come on.
Some Rob Zombie flicks.
Yeah, remake of What Lies Beneath.
Right.
What was your confirmation that entertainment and comedy is what you're supposed to do with your life?
My first open mic when I bombed, but I wanted to go back and get on stage.
Like they booed you off the stage?
Hell no.
You felt like you didn't connect.
I forgot half my jokes, and I didn't know as a rookie comic, you could take your little notepad on stage. Ain't nobody. But I'm thinking you got to come up full Steve Harvey mode, suit, ready, full show. I'm only doing 3 minutes. 3 minutes, that's not a lot of time. But when you new, that shit feels like an hour. So... It was just I got through the first joke and then I just forgot the rest of the shit. So I just got off the stage. I was just like, all right, y'all. I just took my defeat, you know. I was just like, I lost, like, but I'm gonna come back and finish my time. So,
you know, that's real dope because that put the chip on your shoulder where you can freestyle anything. If someone said, tell me something funny, you could be a heckler. Or you can really talk about something in the surroundings.
Yeah. Right.
Boom. It's like a real freestyle artist.
Hey, I mean, it's. I think if you live life like life is art, then your art just becomes more lifelike to the people. You know, like everything right now to me is a piece of art, or like in some frame of like, this is where it's supposed to be. Like, it's perfectly imperfect. Whatever is fucked up, keep it. You know, all of that shit just... And I guess that's just how my comedy just came out. Because like, I didn't know how to write a joke. I didn't know how to do none of this shit. I wrote some shit down, and I went and Googled an open mic, and I ain't turned back since.
That's self-taught experience. That's before YouTube.
I started comedy in 2010, so YouTube was out. It was right around. It was a couple. Russell Peters had a lot of videos out. Dan Cook, Duval, Lil Duval. A couple people, you know, was just on YouTube, MySpace eras, but it wasn't like heavily with all the comics that's in the comic game. No, a lot of comics were sleep on YouTube in 2010.
How did you turn that energy?
Except for Joe Rogan. He was like the first nigga with a podcast.
Facts.
He got some old shit with the old webcam girl cameras. The ones that's on top of the big booty
Spotify mat. Spotify show videos. That's pimping.
He got that 100 mil, man. Salute to that man.
We learning, brother. We learning. But how were you able to transfer that energy of that chip on your shoulder into what you wanted to reach to the audience?
I don't know, bro. I just feel like...
Because you have a signature, bro. Like, you can literally hear a joke and be like, okay, Teddy wrote that. Or you can hear something going on over here and then you'd be like, that's Teddy's voice. Like, you're literally a product that sits on a table, sits on a shelf that people can walk by and know what it is.
Right. That's hard. I didn't think that when I first started, though. Comedy was just therapy to me. Now I'm starting to realize I'm a brand. Like, sometimes I be having to be quiet certain places, nigga, like, with the mask on. I say one thing in certain places. Like, if I'm going to any, like, hood, smoke shop, gas station or something, Teddy, that's you? Like, I'm the only nigga built like me. I mean, there's a couple nigga built like me, but when you put it all together with the gingerly voice and the L.A. hat, I can't wear no disguises, so I think that's probably the biggest part of the brand, just me just, you want some guacamole and chips?
I ain't gonna turn.
Okay,
for sure. Smacking. For sure. I ain't trying to have people watch how I eat right now. I'm trying to focus on.
Because you got a beard, too, and that shit is like a food catcher.
Bruh. So, and I ain't got my wife to talk. Well, no. I mean, she talk hella shit. Be like, why you eat like that? Why you got shit in your beard? Be like, I can't see that shit. I can't look down and see that shit. Like, tell me. That's all you got to do is tell me.
That's why I'm glad I'm not beard gang yet. I got my little shit just so ladies know I'm a grown-ass man. But all of this shit, like, you know, I'm not ready to just be dealing with that every day. Just putting on sweaters, that shit getting caught in my beard, nigga. Like, putting on chains, that shit stuck in my ears.
Bro, that shit the worst when you move and that shit get caught in it.
Right. I'm cool.
I don't have little bald spots and shit.
But I'm ready for it, though, too, at the same time.
It's work, bro. This shit is 4 years in the making.
How'd you make it? Eating ass.
Nah, hell no.
A lot of ass.
Nah, I was trying to work a job and they said you gotta cut your shit to be the manager. And I was like, oh yeah, I cut it. And I became the manager and they made them a whole bunch of money and never cut it. That shit was just.
So that's your money beard.
Yeah, that was, you know, something I realized that, oh, now that's when people see me, they recognize the beard. Under lights, you feel me? I don't know if y'all see this, but it'd be red, blonde, black, brown.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I see. Yeah, you look hella different races all combined into one.
Yeah, so that's how I sell my look, you know?
Right.
We in L.A., Hollywood, that's how this shit go.
When you're in certain areas, you tell niggas you one thing. When you know, sometimes you Armenian when you in Glendale.
Nah. I do got some Armenian partners, but nah, I don't be doing that.
You don't put on your motherfucking.
I do be saying, what is it?
Gucci belt and be like, my friend.
Nah, but I do that. I do that with the amigos. I do that shit with the 7-Eleven clerks. You know, buddy, my buddy.
Yeah, buddy, friend, pal. How you doing? How's the kids? Give me a backwood.
Yeah, and I'll charge you what the fuck you scanning either.
Right. I like the one nigga that you could give him a dollar less and he fuck with you.
On everything. I'm going to come back to and expect the same discount.
Right.
You already fucked up. I feel it's always someone that invests in or puts the idea in someone's mind that they can reach or attain the goals that or their dreams that they want to get to. Who do we owe to thank you for investing in the Teddy Ray's dreams?
Man, you know, they say it take a village. Facts. So I had a pretty interesting life, but along the way, you know, I've had my villages. Shout out to my mom and my pops, you feel me? My aunt Jackie really, helped nurture my spirit, mama and papa, my grandparents. I feel like I get my spirit from my grandparents, and then I get my tough shit from my mom and my stepdad and my dad. Like, you know, so it's like a balance. Like, I don't want to beat your ass, but I can. I really don't want to, but I will if I have to, type shit, you know? Not you, I'm just hypothetical ass with.
I'm already knowing, bro. People don't be understanding until you push a button that, okay, you push the wrong button.
Right, and they think everything just shits and giggles. Like, nah, bro, like, nah. And I'm pretty liberal on a lot of shit. Like, bro, live your life. If you want to just do heroin in that corner and in the quiet, nigga, and it don't bother me, do that shit. Maybe tripping, not here. Take it outside.
Yeah, when you tripping, go outside.
Right. You start nodding off, nigga, in my kitchen. Come on. Beat your ass.
Yeah, see, growing up in L.A. specifically, you know, there's no buses that, like, in Bakersfield that give you the public the school transportation. Out here, you got to ride the metro, get everywhere. So when you're getting on the bus at 6 o'clock in the morning to ride that motherfucker for an hour, you seeing knocks on that motherfucker, nodding off, busting their head on the rail, falling over. Like, that's just something.
Talk about it, because they've been riding the bus all night, nigga. They woke up to get back on the bus to go to sleep just to get... I've seen it, bro, because I worked overnight. I done did all kinds of shit, so I seen to get there. That shit is... blessings, nigga. I'm thankful for every time I have a bed to lay my head on, a couch to sit my ass on, you feel me?
Speak on it.
Extra thankful, because I know...
things turn.
It ain't the same for everybody, you know?
Come on. I wanted to make sure we spent some time on the importance of perfecting your craft, putting in the hour after hour after hour of work and practice. You know, ain't no one in there shooting in the gym but you. And a lot of people don't understand that you put 10,000 hours in to be an outlier to do what you do. You master your work ethic. Right. You came from, you know, like, man, as you told me on here, you came from pretty much getting, you know, a bomb to your blow up.
Right. But I think, you know, a lot of people, some people, their story starts with they killed it their first time. And that's what kept them going. Or they got a lot of money or won a prize. If they wouldn't have won that prize, they wouldn't have kept going. Like, whatever was
the sinners. Like, it's not the rest of the 95%.
Right.
Dreams don't come, the only thing come overnight is sleep.
Right. So I'm saying whatever it is that hooks you, lean on that and remember that that's your reason for your purpose. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So, and as long as you keep that forward, keep God in your life, bro, and do right, nigga, it ain't that hard. You ain't got, I mean, I'm not saying be holy or no weird, you know, live your life, but just don't be a bully, nigga, like, because niggas like me beat up bullies.
When did you go from stand-up to skits? And pretty much recognize that was one of your biggest niches of, I need to be caught, you know, in the element, not just inside the stage.
To be honest, I wasn't even really focused on the skit part like that. This nigga Doughboy looped me in on a couple skits. And James Davis looped me in on his thing, but I was more focused on the stage. But I knew eventually this was a part of it, so I was just... It was at a time in my life where every day I would link up with James Davis and his director, Marty. And we would just try to come up with shit. That was my job for like 8 months. I didn't make no money. I caught the bus, 212, all the way to motherfucking Ladera, to my nigga Marty house. And we would post up, smoke, put whatever tin on the weed, you know. Struggle days, but it was... After I would leave there, I would go do my open mic shit. Because I had to tell my mom I was working all day with people. And I was like, I better be treating shit like it's a job if I wanted it to be my job. So that's how I just approached the day. Like, I would leave my house in the morning, like, do dirty, you motherfucking baby boy. I leave early and come late. Like, I've been doing something. Like, I really, that's how I was living, like. But I would really try to be doing something, you feel me? Like, sometimes I'll be high as a bitch, don't do shit for some hours, but that's a part of the process. That's the growth, you feel me?
The bus would teach you to the plug, and then now you the plug on the bus.
See,
I had a girl when I was living out here, and she worked at UCLA. So, and her mom didn't like that we stayed at her mom's spot. Did not like the fact that I would want to stay there because I didn't have a job. I'm over here trying to fuck with some shit. I mess with these people. I'm gonna make some shit work.
Right.
So I get on the bus and ride to UCLA, and then from UCLA, I'm going anywhere. And I'd be gone like I had a real job. But all I do is develop relationships and work with a hell of people. So when these days come, like, you know, as these past years have really hit me, where I've been able to catapult and transition, it's really made sense of, man, that shit did make sense.
Everything is everything, bro. You go places, you do shit, it all just brings you back to that one thing that you think, you know, that it all, it's like all it is built up to this. All you gotta do is just a brick at a time. Even if you don't know where to place the brick just yet, just throw that motherfucker down. Right. Throw something down. Try something.
This is 6 months into working, if y'all really want to know. I'm just going to throw it out there. You just don't know. You just don't read your DMs like that. But I've been trying to get you on the show for like 6 months.
In
like
season, for real?
I swear. Since like season two.
Because you said like season four, episode 40. I was like, damn, nigga. Like,
yeah.
This nigga been working. But yeah. And it wasn't like I wasn't looking for your DM or no shit like
I'm pretty sure it's flooded. And you be on the other side. Like, if you don't, everybody know Instagram. They don't follow your ass. You in the request box.
Oh, yeah.
They don't see it right
if
away.
If it say 99 plus, I probably won't open it. Unless I posted something that I'm looking, you know. I got a show who want to get tickets, DM me. Then I'm looking through to see who fucking with it. But other than that, I'm like.
Come on.
But sometimes I will scroll through and reply to shit for months later. Like, oh, that's what's up. That's love. Thank you. And they be like, oh, this nigga really responded. Like, that shit be hard too, though.
It is. I ain't gonna lie. Bro, I got partners I text message and motherfuckers gonna text me back for a month just because that's how busy they are. But they be like, look, I got 1,000 text messages. No, you don't. Show me. And then they do.
They just don't know how quick the phone be jumping, bro. Like,
I ain't got no house phone no more. You got a house phone?
No.
So you got
to. You ain't heard shit ring this whole episode.
Nah, just the shit in the background.
We got some old typewriters and some bullet. Well, not a typewriter, a little old camera, but ain't no rotary phones in here.
You feel me? So that means everybody got to get through the same line. Family, right. Business, you can have two lines, but it's the same shit.
Yeah, I'm about to give me another phone, though, for sure. I need that. Because I got to separate it.
Motherfucker be ringing, be like, I'm not answering.
Sometimes it's different stressors, too. Like, some of my family going to be in the other phone.
Energy.
Come on, bro. That's how fucked up, bro.
Nah, bro, but it's important to protect your energy.
Right.
And a lot of people don't understand that if you allow certain energy to keep on getting at you, if you ain't the fucking problem solver and make a solution, then you're going to be a part of the problem for people. And sometimes you bring your problems to my problems and we ain't able to come to a conclusion the last time you had a problem, then I don't think I'm the best resolution to what you got going.
Right.
I don't need to hear that shit. I love you. But I don't need to hear all that shit all the time. Like, bro, that's where you got this and this and this set up. But you don't want to hear me say that. But people will come to you for every single problem they have. My shoes ain't tied. You ain't my son.
Like, I'm bad. I feel like I just learned how to ask for help. And I'm getting better.
But that's the streets, bro. Motherfuckers like to get over. So you be leery on who you cross with. It's like, all right, you got to go through a hoop and a loop before I understand. Right. But they be doing it to us too. And it's be like, oh, okay. But auras kick in. Energy's real. And shit, how you feel from this to this is really what creates everything. That puts the space in the air that where it could either work or it don't.
Right.
As I know, we've been off track. I do want to get back on track. What has been your most rewarding moment so far in the game?
I think seeing my mama bang on niggas backstage and wilding out for t-shirts and shit. Like, that just felt good. Like, just to see her with the backstage passes around her neck. Like, come on, Nick, I need a t-shirt. Just shit like that. I was just like, this is hard, you know? My pops telling me before he passed that he seen me on TV. You know, I ain't really had a closest relationship with my pops, but I always had love for him. And we always found a way to communicate and get back in touch with each other. But, like, just hearing them say that, that was hard. Yeah, just family showing love and being proud, really. And people saying, like, yep, that's you. That'd be the biggest shit. Like, you've been that way forever. Like, you know.
And it's dope that you're able to meet the vision. Like, a lot of time people stare in the mirror and it's a foggy mirror. People have potential to see what they see in you. But a lot of times shit will miss them. And they won't ever see that potential that they were supposed to see in the mirror.
Right.
And so, no, it's dope for people to understand the transparency of, you know, it's dope to have appreciation for what you do and to hear from where it matters.
Right.
It's you know, everybody going to talk about your jokes because they're funny. But it's like, all right, who's really going to pay attention to what I'm doing?
Very few. There's very few that really catch on to, like, the real arc of what a nigga's trying to get through, you know? I pretty much broke it down last year. I was like, bro, all of this shit is about loving yourself. Whatever all of the art is, whatever it is, it just redirects to loving yourself. And appreciating the others should help you love yourself. Some people, it causes envy and jealousy. They can't appreciate the next nigga. But I love everybody, so. Mm. We all, every person she loved, you, bro, we all just, you know, special people just gathered.
Right, right.
Every time, you know, it's a treat when the players meet. That's what we said.
Come on, come on.
So.
And then we realized that we had to turn into bosses, you know.
Right.
It's a treat when bosses meet now.
Man.
Because sometimes people don't understand we beat out our time and our money.
After all the losses, now we bosses.
Whew. What's a few things people got fucked up about comedy and pretty much what you go through?
I wouldn't say fucked up. I just think...
Misconception.
Misconception. People see me and be thinking, oh, you the YouTube nigga, you the skit nigga. I'm like, nah, nigga. My allegiance is to comedy. Always. What's best for the game and the sport and the art of comedy, you know? Or at least that's where my mind is. Like I said, I broke down and got into the skits, which was like the best shit for my career. I can't lie. Like the ADD shit shot me. I've been places I'd have never, I couldn't think that I'd be in fucking Maine with 0.2% black people, but they paying me hella bread to come perform. Who booked me? Who know me in this town, nigga? Like, what the fuck? Like, you know, so I just been blessed just off that alone, but it's always the stand-up. Like, I started off just listening to Eddie Murphy albums, Richard Pryor albums, staying up late watching motherfucking Comic View. Mm-hmm. You know, like, that was me. That's what I just was drawn to it from an early age, so I always looked at it like, that's my happy space, and that's what I want to recreate for other people. Mm. You know, so.
Because laughing is therapy. It is, you know, you could literally be dealing with like some shit inside where you got like acid reflux or something. And you start laughing so hard, you push all that shit down. And you know, you bounce back.
Man. And like laughter really is medicine.
It truly is.
So that's, I think, that probably be the only reason why. Not the only reason, but. Niggas talk about good health and all that shit. Laugh some. Because I feel like a lot of niggas die early because they don't find joys in life. Like, it's just nothing made you hysterical. You ain't never randomly bursted of laughter thinking about some other shit. Like, never. Your life, your headspace, is that boring? Okay.
Nah, right. For real. You know, you started off on this journey of yours from the beginning and pretty much freestyled your way into different opportunities all for the love of comedy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what part of that ended up becoming manifestation and where are you trying to go next?
Low-key, I manifested. When I started comedy, everything I wanted, I got. And that just... Like, Nip got a line, like, I gotta sit back down and rearrange that list. Like, I really had to, like. And I said, it was weird, because God, one of them I pointed out before, God answered it. I just said, I want my name on a billboard. Literally, my name was on a billboard, not my face, not my executive producer. So now I gotta re-aim, you know. I want my face, executive produced by... Teddy, you know, like, now I gotta say it all out, because he gave me everything damn near exactly to the T, but now I gotta, you know, really be specific with my intentions on where I want to take it. So that's just all I've been doing, just not trying to limit myself.
Mm. Where do you expect to see yourself a year from now?
On an island, whispering in Rihanna's ear. Mm. Macking her down. Letting her know about, you know, a real L.A. nigga that grew up off Pico.
Mm.
That could take her to Roscoe's whenever she needed.
Mm.
You know? But seriously, Hopefully.
So you're going to be in Barbados, man.
Yeah, for sure. She fly all her niggas out to Barbados. I like that. I see how she do. She treat all her. She come to my home. Bitch, I come on the block. Yeah, let me see. They going to throw us a parade every time we go down. She the queen of Barbados. Facts. I'm going.
Facts.
I'm going. And even if I don't date Rihanna, just to kick in and smoke weed with her, I'll be her backwood roller or whatever she smoke. I roll that shit. Mm. Just let me kick it by the queen.
Come on. Come on.
Fuck Queen Elizabeth. It's all about Riri.
What's been your three favorite?
Nah, don't fuck Queen Elizabeth. The government might tap my shit. It's finna be some UK detectives. What did you say?
Interpol finna be a right. Top dog. What has been your three favorite skits, jokes that you know right off the top of your head that you wanna, you know, let the viewers know if they haven't, you know, came across you already? What's your three favorite?
I think off the top. I did the skit with Jay Snow's courthouse. He had a courthouse like show. What the fuck was it called? But anywho, I freestyled a scene because I actually came late to the shoot. So they had it like I actually showed up late to work in the script. So I'm showing up, doors is locked. I'm cussing out the door like, motherfucker, I got kids to feed. Like, that was probably one of my favorites because it was, you know, they paid a lot of, it's big budget shit. Like they don't, back in them days, like it was hard to get a big budget out of ADD. So the fact that they let my homie Jay Snow spend a couple dollars that week, we just had fun. So it just made the environment that much more dope. Like, you know, probably, the Blood Cuz, the funeral for Blood Cuz. I had to get my acting on for that one. I had to really fake out some tears. And I would think people would tell me, just because they tell me in real life, that they like my Melodies from Heaven joke. Mm. You know? Because that's like, you know, that's real. I was really in the choir. You know, I would really be irritated if our part was weak. Like, come on, man. We could get a better part than this. Like, I remember thinking like that back in the day. So, and I wrote that joke on stage. Like, it was, I remember where I was at. I was at the J spot when I just blurted it out and it just hit. And I was just like, okay. And then I did it on All Deaf Comedy Live and retired it there. Now people be asking me to do it. Like, it's a song. Like, do the joke. Do the, like, no. No.
I'm going to put a pause on the entertainment questions. I got 2 segments. One, my awareness segment.
Okay.
And my awareness segment is, you know, shit, we grew up in the hood. You already know how it goes. The red and blue lights hit. The high beam hits the back of your neck. We hearing the blurp sound. We getting pulled over.
Right.
I asked every guest of mine, when was the last time they were pulled over? And what's some advice they can give in the situation to maneuver? Because, you know, I didn't learn until after I was sitting down what I shouldn't have done.
Right. What'd you do?
I got caught for second-degree robbery.
See. I really just be a happy citizen, bro. I done did a couple shits, but...
But no, that was, I was 17, and yeah, I ain't gonna go on. But I'm just right, saying, right, but right, the main right. thing is that there's a lot of people moving around, and there's not enough OGs out there explaining, like, man, you need, you know, there's some insight what you're supposed to do. You know, look at eye-to-eye contact, hand on the steering wheel, roll down your windows if it's nighttime. I mean, roll down your windows, but turn on the light if it's nighttime right. so they can see in your shit. You know, the whole idea of getting pulled over, as I've learned, is to go through it as quickly as possible.
Right. The quicker we can, y'all can say, okay, good night. Whew, thank you. Thank you.
Exactly.
Because if we having too long of a conversation, I'm really finna shoot on myself. Like, this ain't fun. I remember the homie, we wasn't even driving. We was in Culver City, smoking in the car, chilling, and they made the homie get out the car and sit on the pavement, do all kind of shit. And then the cop, I'm sitting on the driver's side, the other cop just sitting by my window, asking me all kind of questions. I'm telling him, like, yo, man, we got ADD, it's across the street, da-da-da-da-da. And I'm like, man, fuck all that, dude. We got to figure out why y'all got so much weed in the car. the neighbors been complaining. We're like, weed is legal. We thought if the car's off, we had, my cousin talked about, you know, he went to college and shit. Brett, he talked, he a nigga, but he
flipped that light on.
Right, he flipped that light on. Excuse me, sorry. But my keys were not in the ignition. And the laws that pertain to
this is my property.
DUI is my property. He started using them kind of words. And I was just sitting there just like, when can I relight this blunt, man?
Oh, you talking about COVID City.
Man, they grimy too out there, but I think they knew once he said that, once my key's not in the ignition and it's private property, but I guess because the neighbors, we blowing right in front of people's houses because we around the corner because we don't want to blow in front of ADD because we don't want to blow ADD spot up, so we on a residential. But any street regular. You park on in the hood, nigga, you can blow any, right, smoke anything. You can smoke crack in your car in the hood. Nobody's going to tell you a damn thing. But, you know.
To each his own.
To each his own. But stop bothering niggas when you see them doing just regular shit that you wouldn't bother nobody else for. This is a PSA.
Come on.
Please. If you see a nigga planting a tree, don't go up to that. Who authorized you to plant that? Let that nigga plant that tree.
Come on, that's oxygen.
Right, like, but white people really sit up and, I don't know who gave you the authority. I don't know who gave you the authority to come talk to me right now, man.
Come on.
And I'm gonna have my sister come out this house in her slippers and beat your ass. She been waiting.
She ready.
I told her to get off of her ass last night, but this is righteous. You deserve it.
See, knowledge is power, but when you use that knowledge, it becomes a superpower.
Right.
And there's no greater time to use a superpower against the punk-ass police or, you know, a hating-ass person that wants to come out there and stop your progress and what you're trying to do good for the community.
Man. Because that's, yeah, you really evil if you try to do that.
I got my next segment. It's called Impulse Q&A. I got Impulse questions. I want your Impulse answer.
Okay.
You got to answer three questions. You don't like the question, it's all good. I hit you with another one. I still want you to answer three questions.
I got you.
Are you ready?
I got you.
Question number one. What's the funniest thing you've seen happen in real life?
Shit. Like I said, bro, I be laughing. I be laughing hard, bro. I can't even think right now. The funniest thing. Shit.
What song sticks out?
I don't know. I want to say I just fell through a milk crate getting on stage, like last month. Foot slipped through the whole milk crate, fell through the mud. I had to get help to get on stage. It was terrible.
You had a rod wave?
Yes. I had a rod wave and the stage was rocky because the grass was hella wet. Like, we should have had this inside somewhere, but it's COVID, so we got to be outside. So we outside, it's like 40 degrees, it's been raining and shit. Like,
see, bro, it'd be hella funny to talk about it when, like, someone else fall and we could see it, but when the person you interviewing talking about when they fell and it was hella funny to them, I'm trying not to laugh.
Bro, that shit was funny to me. I just had to, like, get it out. Like, I had to point it out to the audience, like, y'all see this bullshit. This motherfuckers got ghetto ass shit, niggas. Crates and shit, my leg broke. Like, what the fuck? We don't get paid enough for this. Like, and then they had, like, two barbecue pits to try to, like, warm up the crowd. And I was like, this shit, I'll pour some water on this shit. I feel like brisket up here. Y'all niggas just got, I'm just up here getting smoked, nigga. Like, my leg fractured, nigga. Like, what the fuck?
Gosh. Question number two. What's one thing you love, but you wish you hated?
I don't know if I wish I hated. Molly. I think I had too much fun on Molly. That's why I can't do it no more. Because I would really just get topless just out of nowhere.
You be Terry Crews and doing white girls?
I don't know about all that, but, you know. And it's in proper settings, you know. Bitches is there. It ain't like I'm taking Molly to the net.
Rick Ross.
Watching motherfucking TV or nothing. Hell no. No, no, no. Hell no. I'm not Rick Ross. Hell no. Don't say that. I'm not that man. I'll take your own pill, man. Take your, yes, let me see you. I'm gonna film you, take a picture with it on your tongue. You're not finna Cosby me.
Guys, I went down the wrong street. Question number three. Good look. What's one thing you recommend someone has to try at least once while they're in LA?
Out of all the things in LA, if you had to pick one, I say Leimert Park. Just go to Leimert on a Sunday. See that drum circle, see that African market, see them, you know. It just, it feels, it's like, it's the closest thing to Wakanda in LA. Mm. Is at Leimert, so. Hey, get around the corner, get you Taco Bell, get you some weed, you know. It's everything you need is in Leimert.
Yeah, that's a hub.
Yeah, for sure.
Now, have you noticed my show, go ahead.
You never really went into, like, how you got to certain settings like All Def Digital and then Wildin' Out. Could you kind of like give us a quick rundown of how you got
to gigs? So the All Def Digital gig, boom. Doughboy hits me off with an idea, say we got to do, we talking shit to each other online via Twitter, basically. Like, you fat ass nigga, you fat ass, you bad built, nigga, you bad built. Like, we both terribly built, so that's why it's comedy. That's it's the comedy of it, because we both fat as fuck talking to each other like we not fat as fuck. And he came up with an idea to do a weight loss competition, and this guy that was doing this show, Jeru Tillman at the time, who later managed this, was like, hold off on that, because we was going to put the show on Twitter. I don't know how we came up with the idea. We just knew Twitter was just the shit. So we was just like, we got to somehow put this on Twitter. Like, Twitter, Twitter, Twitter. That's all we was doing. He was like, hold off, let me take this to Russ's people, to YouTube. He just started a company, da-da-da-da-da. I'm not a nigga that believes hella shit sometimes, you feel me? So I'm like, if it happened, cool. If not, we still gonna go to Twitter. I'm still talking to Doughboy like, nigga, we always got Twitter.
Yeah.
Nigga, I don't give a fuck about none of this Russell shit, but it actually panned out. They asked us to perform for a show. I thought Russell was gonna be there. He wasn't. He sent some Asian people to watch us. I thought them niggas was finna come pop lock or something. I didn't know what they, you know. I'm like, where's Russ? He sent me. I was like, okay, for sure.
He said pop. I like Jap.
Right. Because they had on Adidas fits, you know. Like, I thought they was really, ain't no Jungle Book. Ain't don't. So you were hilarious tonight. And like, I didn't know how it was going to go. But yeah, after that, we got the meeting. And then in the meeting, we got our show. We got blowing up on ADD. 6-episode series featuring co-starring Russell. This is before whatever's prevalent now, you know. This is Russell Simmons, you know, still Russell Simmons, you know, but Russell Simmons. Yeah. Rush Card, MasterCard, Visa. I was in Def Jam in the 90s, in the 80s. I did a lot of coke in the 80s, a lot of Angel Dust, a lot of fucking PCP. I fucked a lot of whores. Legendary.
Come on.
Whew. Warren G saved my company. That's why I always love LA. Warren G saved Def Jam. He told me that.
Wow.
That's why I felt like, okay, now LA nigga gotta come save ADD.
You know, when I first started digging into the history of Roast Me, I realized that you were the, you know, the host, the judge, you had it popping.
Yeah.
And, you know, what transitioned from you in that role to where they took it to another way?
It was just a decision at the time that I just stood on, you know. We wasn't agreeing on certain things that I felt like was easy to agree on. But, you know, you live and you learn, so. We passed that. Like we said, we working on future money. We, you know.
Yeah, no, that's love.
Yeah, but I
as a fan, I was like,
at the time, that first season, we shot that whole first season in a day. In a day. It might have been the hottest day that year. So it was a very frustrating day. I don't know what was said to niggas. Niggas was roasting all day. Niggas was hot. Niggas was mad. So, you know, that first season was just, that's what it was. And then we went to the office with it. We moved offices. I also think, too, when ADD switched locations, that kind of altered the energy a little bit, too. Because that Culver City energy was just different. Downtown energy, the train going by, every take, and, you know, it looked nice, but I don't know.
That should have painted an ass.
Right. So, that's my honest opinion. I think switching the location altered the energy. So.
You have survived my awareness segment. You have survived my impulse Q&A. As a reward, the floor is yours. Whoever you want to shout out, whatever you want people to go run up, go ahead,
man. Man, y'all go tap into my YouTube, man. I just dropped some stand-ups on there. A 30-minute called 9 p.m. in San Diego. Yes, I bit Drake. And then I got another one called Fresh Off a Roach Blunt. February 18th. That's the title. I'm into abstract titles. Or just very, not abstract, very specific. Highly, too specific. Too specific. I think that's all my title shit.
But it sticks.
Right. My nose was running before I got on stage, and that's going to be the name of my special.
That's going to win, bro.
I mean,
you know. You're giving trade secrets right now, man.
I mean, I just learned, like I said, from other people, like Drake had the 4 a.m., like, in Toronto, the timestamps.
5 a.m.
Right, I was just like, this 9 p.m. in San Diego. I just timestamped my shit, like, you know. And then Fresh Off a Roach Blunt, that was just an idea that I had, like, you know, so. You know, so yeah, tap into those two videos and then the rest of whatever's on my channel. And then, you know, just more stand up on the way. I got a show coming up on the 24th. It's going to be available for live stream purchase via Vimeo. So tap in with Lewis, Belt, CP, Kamara White, Precious Hall. Hilarious lineup. Man, just trying to find more ways to do this stand-up shit, bro, because it's what saved my life, so this is what I like to do, you know?
Well, we're starting to see the end of the tunnel with COVID, I mean, to a degree, with vaccines getting out and with the
president. I don't know, they just hit these niggas with the refill. Yeah. They said COVID 2.0 is out. They just put out the vaccine for the first part.
But that's, yeah, I ain't even gonna go into all that. But there is hope at the end of the day, I mean, because... Well, people have to realize you can't do stand-up with people in the car. You have to hear laughter. Right. You have to get that affirmation that we headed in the right direction. And same thing for shows and so on and so forth. And so we're going to come back full head of steam to where it's required. And it's going, you know, things going to sell out like hotcakes.
Like stand-up, too, at the pure essence of it is so intimate. Like when it gets out there and it's packaged and it's sold, it's... theater is beautiful, is, you know, the crowd, thousands of people, but when you're making those jokes, it's not. You're not making those jokes in front of thousands of people, and that's, I think that's what's missing right now, just getting back to those intimate settings where I'm right here looking at your face to see if it works. Looking at you and your reaction, your body language. If the whole crowd is like this, I probably need to switch up my flow. Or if they talking, distracted, maybe I need to raise my voice, cuff the mic, you know, just different shit. Just you know, different little things that you got to learn, but you got to learn them on stage. It's shit niggas can't teach you like that. They can help guide you on a joke or two, or, you know. Maybe they can write your whole set, who knows, but it's just certain shit that you just...
You got to recognize when to transition,
right.
When to keep on going into the same shit.
And especially, I didn't host the Hood Room, so that's really what taught me awareness. I got to shout them out, too, the Family Room. I used to host there off Main and El Segundo for a year. Really, in total, for like 4 years, but we split it up in like two different times. So we was there for a year and a half this last run, And then we had a 3-year run our first time. So, and then, and I feel like that club made me as strong as I was, or as I thought I am, or thought I was, or whatever the fuck.
That was the development, man.
Yeah, but that was for sure my boxing gym. Because, you know, hood niggas, don't, they got a hard time lying unless they finesse it. But if they really on some entertainment shit, they, it ain't no finesse, nigga. You really got to be funny, nigga. You can't finesse a laughter out of a nigga. I mean, you can, you know, sing your song or do your dance, and that might get them going for a little bit. But if you ain't got no joke or something rooted that's going to hit them and they're going to think about the next week.
You can embarrass yourself for so long. And to a point where you actually got to do something.
Man.
So, bro, if you notice my show is different, it's unique. You know, they got segments over there. So I'm like, all right, I got to do segments, but I don't do segments like them. And I'm like, how do I keep that same energy and close out? The viewers knows it's coming. I'm going to hit you with it. You got any questions for me?
Shit. Yeah. Where the weed at?
Man, you know, it's over there. And okay. Cookies bag.
Shout okay. out to Cookies. Okay, that was my only question. For real, for real. I ain't had no other.
Yeah. It's medical purposes, you understand me?
For personal too, nigga. I ain't sick. I just like getting high, nigga.
Nah, I smoked the coke. You know, life is fucked up.
Right.
Now, I gotta close out, see? 3, 2, 1. All right. It's Contrast Uncut. It's season 4, episode 40. I want to give a big shout out to Uncle Snoop's Army and Bobby D Presents. I appreciate you, brothers. I wouldn't be able to do incredibly dope shit like interview Teddy Ray. And this brother let these diamonds fly like he had a 50-round drum of just gems hitting everybody. He was dropping them left and right. And I appreciate you, bro, coming on the show, being transparent, and allowing people to understand the journey it takes to see success. And it's not over. You're still hungry and humble.
The road to success is always under construction. This nigga, the Tesla nigga, Elon Musk, just became the richest man in the world. So Jeff Bezos is like, you know.
It's a battle.
It's a bitch out there about to leave Jeff Bezos because Elon Musk got a billion more. You feel me? So it's like, the road to success, bro, just keep building your bricks. Your pyramid gonna hit, and when your pyramid hit, work on another pyramid. You just keep building, bro. Just legacy. I think right now I'm before I was building just to build my craft and to be more confident and do all this shit. Now I'm legacy driven. So what's gonna be my mark when I'm not here no more? That's where my head is now. It ain't, you know, I'm still living in the now, still living for now, but I keep looking at the future. Like what is it? Even past my life, just what does it look like for my grandkids? Like, what does it look like for my great-grand? Is it going to be fucked up?
And you recognizing that in generational wealth is what structures what can make it easier for people.
Right. But I didn't even care about generational wealth, nigga, until I was 27. I ain't inherited shit.
Right.
And my whole, I think my grandma might have left me a couple hundred when she passed, you know? And I don't know what happened to that money. But, you know, we ain't growing up inheriting hella shit like that. Like, we really...
coming from the gutter.
Right. So, I just want to do better than what was done to me. But also, I'm grateful, you know, to be in spaces where I'm still able to have my mentals, you know, like, everything's still in line, and I think it just came from just, like I said, my village before, bro, just being raised by good people, my grandparents, my mom, my dad, my aunts, everybody. Just...
Bro, when you do this horror movie, you hit for like $100 million, you understand what I mean, how you created generational wealth.
Right.
Because that's the, you know, that's the path you on, and whether you understood that was that big wall you was painting, and you just focus on this picture, the rest of the wall is still filling in and people seeing it and wanting it. And so, you know, just keep on striving, brother, because we in that same boat of what's going to keep on going until we see the rest of the wall.
Right. But really, I'm not even tripping on the rest of the wall. I'm just trying to have fun building this bitch, really.
That's real.
Because you don't want to stress yourself out building a wall that you don't take time to realize and have fun that you did. Building is cool. You know? People be so in a rush to build, I feel like that's how you get sloppy work, nigga. Like, I don't know. Everybody different. Some niggas, I don't know. I'm pot roast, nigga. I slow cook. I'm not just saying that because I'm built like it. I'm not finna lay in nobody air fryer. But press that button, turn me on. Baby, I don't know who I'm talking to. I be thinking my soulmate watching. Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Teddy Ray from West LA. Y'all are tuned in to Contrast Uncut. Shout out to Snoop. Shout out to Uncle Snoop's Army, Bobby D, my nigga Silo, everybody out there in the camp, bro. Keep holding it down. Keep progressing. Keep spreading love. Cause yeah. It come back. It bounce back.
Like this you. Really remind me of some. Hey, this really reminds me of some Tribe Called Quest. Hip hop really taught me to give it all I got left. Wu-Tang taught us how to beat the projects and tell my story over beats and it could be a project. Look how it all begun, bum skibbity bum, yeah. Grew up on that Nas, on that L, on that pun. Also when I was young, crisscross make them jump. Battle rapping for respect, my nigga, this ain't what you want. Can I kick it when I'm rhyming? Be a legend through Ebonics, was a sticker boy. Felt like Sticky Fingers played at Onyx. Can I live track 8? Feel like Jigga 96. Without a reasonable doubt, the album turned me into this. Should we always had dreams of being money making mission? Without jewelry on, hit a jail phone, take a flick, feel like pop.